Hare Krishna, we'll start today's class. We'll discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 13th chapter, verses 29 to 37. And primary theme, here again it repeats, is the Sadhu Sangha. There are other sub-themes also, but primarily it's again Sadhu Sangha, how Dhritarashtra is benefited by association of Vidura and he executes the instruction he was received. So we'll recite the invocation verses together.
Narayanam namaskrityam naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam mudirayet nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama sloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki.
So just to give the context, so far whatever we discussed in 13th chapter, verses 1 to 10 was covered by Amritananda Prabhu. It discusses about how Vidura, after the pilgrimage, after hearing so many wonderful things about spiritual topics from Maitreya Muni, he returns back home and the primary purpose was to deliver Dhritarashtra. And then, Prabhu, you want to keep some there? Let's deliver Vidura. And then all Kurus were very delighted to receive them because after a long time Vidura is returning. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj, there were loving exchanges. Yudhishthira Maharaj inquired how have you been maintaining your life, everything. And then he also remembered, recognized him, like how he helped them when they were young, all those things. They were loving exchanges. And then after that, Vidura starts instructing Dhritarashtra. So this is the thing which Rasika Mataji very nicely covered, where he talks about the influence of the time and that he gives that you're already experiencing the symptoms of old age. So why don't you now take some action, and already whole life is wasted. At least now you do something for the pleasure of the Lord. So that's what Vidura instructs. So now let's see how Dhritarashtra acts upon this. So that is today's section, like 13, verses number 13, 29 to 37. So again the main primary theme is Sadhu Sangha again. So subsection themes are like verses 29 to 30, it talks about Dhritarashtra and Gandhari leave home immediately. And 31 to 32 is Yudhishthira Maharaj inquires from Sanjaya. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, Yudhishthira Maharaj finds out that they are not there, elderly uncles and aunt, they are not there. So he becomes anxious as to like, okay, why? And then because Sanjaya is like most confidential servant, he may know. So Yudhishthira Maharaj asks him, okay, what happened? Do you know about them? Then verses 33 to 34, Yudhishthira Maharaj actually takes personal responsibility for this incident. He thinks, because of my offenses, yeah, so then Yudhishthira Maharaj takes personal responsibility. So we are on page slide 6. Oh. So we are on slide number 6. So Yudhishthira Maharaj feels personal responsibility that they have left. And he thinks that because of my offenses, they are leaving. So that gives some instruction for us how to react to situations. We will talk about some practical application there. And then verses 35 to 37, Sanjaya also comes to know about the situation, becomes agitated, mentally disturbed, and then he replies. So that's the subsection themes. Now we start with verse number 29. We'll read the Sanskrit together.
Evam Raja Vidurenanujena Prajna Chakshur Bodhita Ajamida Chitva Sveshu Sneha Pasandram Dinno Nishchakrama Bhartu Sandarshitadva.
Thus Maharaj Dhritarashtra, the scion of the family of Ajamida, firmly convinced by introspective knowledge, Prajna, broke at once the strong network of familial affection by his resolute determination. Thus he immediately left home to set out on the path of liberation as directed by his younger brother Vidura. So here we see immediately after receiving the instructions from Vidura, Dhritarashtra actually realizes that immediately, and he gets the strength to cut out all these attachments and immediately get up to go. So then again, one of the main things Prabhupada emphasizes here, importance of Sadhu Sangha. So there he quotes that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he quotes that verse about the Sadhu Sangha. It is Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Kavai, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoy. So that means Lava Matra is actually 1/12 of a second. So even that much association we have, Shastras declare that will set us on the path of liberation. So that is the strength of association. Lord Chaitanya Prabhu emphasizes that in that verse. And then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that actually in his own life, his inspiration to write Srimad Bhagavatam in English was because of that association he had with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he says that, like, without that, I may become a big business magnate, but I may not be taking up devotion service. So what's the use of that? That's what he says. So it's all, whatever I have done is because of the association I gained from my spiritual master. And then another, so similarly Prabhupada says, similarly here Vidura's association with Dhritarashtra caused him to take to the path of self-realization. So why should we associate with sadhus? So primary factor is we should to hear from them. Many times Prabhupada says that even if you go to holy places, if we don't go there to hear from sadhus, there is no use, because we will be seeing from whatever our misconceptions are, so we will not see the real thing. So the main thing with association is to hear from them. Even with a spiritual master, like we have Vapu and Vani, right? So Vapu is a physical association with spiritual master. So as much as we can, we should have that association. Other than that, primarily is through Vani. So we should continuously hear, especially from our spiritual master on a day-to-day basis, so that we can... it is said that actually for a disciple, hearing from spiritual master is like a child in the womb getting nourishment through the umbilical cord of the mother. So if that umbilical cord is cut, the child doesn't get any nourishment. So similarly, like a disciple, if it stops hearing from spiritual master, so it doesn't get any nourishment how to proceed in spiritual life. Of course, there are so many wonderful acharya, so many Vaishnavas we can hear from. But I heard always from Guru Maharaj, he always says, there is something special in hearing from one's own spiritual master. What is that is, it touches the heart. Because there is that connection, it transforms the heart. Everybody we hear, it transforms the heart, but there is something more special when we hear from one's own spiritual master. And what effect is there in association with sadhus? They cut the illusory affection with the world. So it's always said, sadhu is the one who cuts. So if you just attend a class and nothing happens and we just walk out and do the same thing, then that means either we are not listening submissively, or the person is not teaching so strongly, or they are not following properly. So there should be some effect. And that effect is, illusory affection with the world is cut and one gets attachment to the lotus feet of the Krishna and spiritual world. Oh, audio means... No, it's not mute. Then... why? So then Srila Prabhupada goes about to give some analogies of how material world is an illusion. So there he talks about, like, it's so temporary, as if it's like a dashing foam on the sea. So the dashing foam with the breeze or something, they just come together and after that it just vanishes. Similarly, as a cloud in the sky. So cloud exists, and because of the cloud there is rain, there is vegetation, there is everything goes on. But the cloud afterwards, it vanishes. And similarly, all the vegetation, everything vanishes. So these are all temporary. They exist and they go away. But then Prabhupada says that the intelligent people, they take interest only in the spiritual cloud of variegatedness, but they are not interested in this temporary manifestations of rain and all this vegetation. So it gives a point, like aspiring spiritualist should take interest in the eternal spiritual sky. So the one of the quotation about Sadhu Sangha in this purport, The scriptures enjoin, therefore, that one should associate with sadhus only, rejecting all other kinds of association, and by doing so, one will have ample opportunity to hear the sadhus, who can cut to pieces the bonds of illusory affection in the material world. So again, emphasizing association of sadhus. Okay, so this is like a practical application. Like we all have heard so some more things glorifying devotees, so that we can again hear this and put it to practice again, the importance of association. So I heard from Tamal Krishna Maharaj one lecture. He says that we are initially, when we come, we see like all devotees are like you know, Vaikuntha devotee, Paramahamsas. It's like, oh wow, it's so Mahaprabhu. They are so wonderful. How nicely they are serving Krishna. So beautiful. So nice. We are so neophyte. And we really are neophyte. And we feel neophyte. Then after some time, we come close and we can see the like some negative sides of also of them. Then we tend to forget all the wonderful things about them and just focus on the negative things. So then we commit offenses and all those things. But this point of Tamal Krishna Maharaj struck me a lot. He said that these are the same devotees you will see in the spiritual world. So if you don't know how to get along with them now, there is no hope for you in spiritual world. So better learn how to deal with them and get along with them and develop loving relationship with them now. The same devotees, because everybody is aspiring to go back to Golgolaka, so they will end up there. So better learn. And then this is very, very nice verse. Radhanath Maharaj gave a class on this. This is a verse about this 4.19 Yayatamam Prapadyante verse, where Maharaj emphasizes that in this verse, Krishna says that as one approaches me, that's how I will reward them. And Maharaj says that the same applies to different spiritual aspects we approach. The way we approach devotees. Like if we approach them as like they are wonderful, they are so dear to Krishna, I just want to serve them, then Krishna reveals the glories of the devotees. If you approach them and they are ordinary people, they don't get up early, they don't come on time, all those things, then Krishna only shows that. So this is also like something we can practice. Like how should we approach? We have to, again we keep forgetting, again we should remind ourselves to put us in the spiritual perspective. And in Letter of Instruction, Srila Prabhupada says that one of the purposes of ISKCON is to nourish this loving association between the devotees and also extend that to rest of the people who come. So purposes of ISKCON is for that association. So we cannot imagine, we should not even think about, we also experience, right? Once in a year we go to India and few days we stay away from association, it becomes so difficult. So we can't even imagine to live a life so far away from devotees. At least right now maybe we are not having such an intimate association, but just by seeing devotees we are getting so much strength. And same thing, like devotees are so rare. Krishna says in so many verses, right? Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschit yatate siddhave yatatam abhisiddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvataha. And bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyante vasudevam sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabaha. So all the devotees, sincere devotees, are actually giving up so, they could have done so many things with their time and energy. They could have been doing so many things. They give up all that and they say, I just spend 2 hours a day chant the holy name of the Lord. So that itself is so glorious. Forget about all the wonderful achievements they are doing in service to Krishna, Guru and Gauranga. So we should always remember this again. We keep forgetting it because of familiarity, because of our anardas. But it's good to, this Bhagavatam is giving us an opportunity to hear about this again and again. So one of the quotation regarding association: let me engage myself in the service of the Goswamis and associate with the devotees. I do not want anything. Janame janame mora ei abhilash. Bhakti Vinod Thakur said that Kita janma hoi jata tuva das. This association, let me become a worm, not a devotee, even a worm. Kita means worm, an insignificant ant, worm. better to remain as an ant with the association of devotees than to become a Brahma without any devotees' association. Brahma Janma Nai Mora Ash. Bahirmukha Brahma Janma Nai Mora Ash. Kita Janma Hoy Jata Tuva Das. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's hankering. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his songs is emphasizing how much he is desiring to just be a worm in devotee's home, but not a Brahma who is Bahirmukha from Krishna. So the next verse.
Patim prayantam subalasya putri pati vrata chanu jaghama sadvi himalayam yasta dhanda praharsham manasvinamiva satsam prahara.
The gentle and chaste Gandhari, who was the daughter of King Subala of Kandahar or Gandhara, followed her husband, seeing that he was going to the Himalaya mountains, which are the delight of those who have accepted the staff of the renounced order, like fighters who have accepted a good lashing from the enemy. So here we see immediately when Gandhari saw that her husband was leaving, she immediately decided to follow her husband. And they went to Himalayas. So Prabhupada explains why they went to Himalayas instead of Vrindavan or Puri. So Srila Prabhupada emphasizes in this purport how Gandhari is an ideal wife. So the chaste Gandhari could have actually stayed at her parents' home, or she could have stayed at wherever she is staying, but still she chose to follow her husband. She also heard all the instructions which her husband has heard from Vidura. So she chose that, okay, I will also follow my husband. And then some of the examples of ideal wives Srila Prabhupada gives in the purport are Sita Devi. So similarly, Srimati Sita Devi, Lakshmi Ji Sita Devi, she is actually Lakshmi Ji. So she has all the wealth, but still she chose to give up all those things and follow her husband to the forest. And similarly, we also heard about Savitri. So Savitri also, after her husband passed away, she never gives up, and she even goes to have a battle with Yamaraj to get him back. So she was so chaste. And then I heard this very nice pastime about Pishima. Pishima is Srila Prabhupada's sister. So it seems that her husband was also Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciple, but after some time somehow he took to other non-devotional practices, but still she never gave him up, and she was so chaste and faithfully she never gave up her shelter of Krishna. At the same time she served him like a proper wife, like everything, without criticizing, without anything, just like how cooking properly, nicely, tolerating everything. After so many years he turned back and took to devotional practice, and he said that I couldn't win when compared to her chastity and her devotion. I have to give in to her. I have to change myself. So these incidents tell us how much is the power of chastity. Even if we may feel my husband is not proper in certain ways or some things, if we just stick to the dharma, then Krishna will protect us. So one of the section in the purport Srila Prabhupada gives is, instructions for the renounced order of life were imparted to Dhritarashtra by Vidura, and Gandhari was by the side of her husband, but he did not ask her to follow him because he was at that time fully determined. Like a great warrior who faces all kinds of dangers in the battlefield, he was no longer attracted to so-called wife or relatives, and he decided to start alone. But as a chaste lady, Gandhari decided to follow her husband till the last moment. So actually here Dhritarashtra didn't even care whether Gandhari is following or not, but Gandhari followed, and Prabhupada tells very nicely in the purport, she followed him at her own risk. Because he didn't say that, okay, I am going to take care of you, but he tells very clearly. So some of the and here Srila Prabhupada talks about why Himalayas. So here he talks about two types of sannyasis, like Ekadandi sannyasis swamis or Mayavadi sannyasis. They are more interested in going to Himalayas, and they are Dheeras. We talked about Dheeras, Narottamas and sannyasis in Rasika Mataji's class. And then, but Vaishnava sannyasis are Tridandi sannyasis or swamis, and they are more interested in Vrindavan and Puri, and they are Narottamas. So here, Srila Prabhupada says that Dhritarashtra is qualified to come at most to the stage of Dheera. That means self-controlled person. So that's why he chose to go to Himalayas. He couldn't immediately take full shelter of the Lord to become a Narottama. So that's the reason they went to Himalayas. So some of the practical applications we could draw from here. I thought ideal wife alone would be difficult. So we'll talk about ideal husband and wife. So Radhakrishna Prabhu says, right, in his class he said so many times, women are like children. Actually, I remember in Gauranga Chandra Prabhu's class, in house, Prabhu tried so much to make Prabhu change that statement. Prabhu, if they are like children, but still they act like elders and they try to dictate decisions and also, how is it going to work? Prabhu simply said, still they are children. You should learn how to tolerate, and that is your responsibility to guide them still. So there is no excuse about it. And then, so women have a tendency to naturally follow. That's from the childhood, they follow their father or elder brothers. And similarly, if the husband, when they marry, they are naturally want to follow somebody. And they are, that's why, very faithful to spiritual masters also. So the main thing, what gives the security is, if husband can give that sense of protection and security, then women will feel very safe to follow him nicely. So that's also a responsibility from both husband and wife. And we always say, right, you be like Sita, but I cannot be like Rama. So that doesn't work. So we both have to, husband and wife have to take responsibilities and become ideal. Then everybody can, we can become an ideal Brahmacharya family. And Rompad Maharaj always says, right, charity begins at home. So we want to preach Krishna consciousness, we want to make so many devotees. But what about our wife? What about our kids? Are we really giving them so much affection and love that it's nourishing their Krishna consciousness on a day-to-day basis? We don't get so much appreciation and attention and glorification outside so much, right? That's good. Krishna gives it like that. Not too many devotees don't like always say, oh, Mataji, you are great. Oh, Prabhuji, you are great. So the only thing we have is our husband and wife, if they appreciate for our services and the sacrifices and small things we do. So that gives lot of strength. And in military we see this term, right, cover me. So whenever they are fighters, if they are in risky position, they say, please cover me from that side, some attack, somebody is attacking. So similarly, especially in husband and wife, we are so close, we know each other's conditioning, weaknesses, everything. But somehow, Krishna is so wonderful, he has arranged that we complement each other most of the time. So instead of knowing that I have strength in here and you have weakness here, instead of saying, okay, you cannot do this, you don't do this, why you don't do this, so many years you don't do this, instead of doing that, okay, I have this strength, okay, let me cover up for you. I can do this naturally, but you cannot do it because of your conditioning, so let me cover for you. Because together we are one body. So our Guru Maharaj Vyasa Puja in Seattle, everybody was reading offerings. So then Rasa Chandra Prabhu was reading offering. While he is reading, he was like expressing his deep heartfelt emotions. And from far, Yashomati Mataji was hiding behind a door and she was crying. So then Maharaj noted that. And in his Vyasa Puja address, he said that, see, husband and wife, they are one body. Whatever feelings he is experiencing, she is feeling the same. And among that, wife is better half. So, and this is another very nice quotation from Srila Prabhupada. Yogeshwara Prabhu, he is Prabhupada's disciples, in one of the class in Pune Yatra, Radhanath Maharaj asks Yogeshwara Prabhu to speak. Then he quotes his personal incident with Srila Prabhupada. So whenever Yogeshwara Prabhu goes to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada says, so Yogeshwar, they say J, right? Yogeshwar, how is your wife? Then he said, yeah, she's okay, Prabhu, Prabhupada. Then again he goes, and after some time again he comes and he says, "So Jogeshwar, how is your wife doing?" "Okay, Prabhupada, she is doing fine." But he started feeling as if I am nobody. He never asks about me. Always he asks about my wife. What is this? Then finally, third time when again it happened, he asked, "Prabhupada, why always you are asking about my wife? What about me? Why you don't ask about me?" Then Prabhupada very nicely said, "No, Jogeshwar, husband and wife should love each other. They should have affection. Otherwise, the relationship will be very dry." So that's a quote, and Prabhu told it so nicely. He told, "This you will never hear in any sannyasi talk, in any of the official lectures from Prabhupada, you will never hear this." But Prabhupada always emphasized taking care of one's own, like, wife and children, so that together we can proceed in Krishna consciousness. So artificially we cannot say, "Oh, I am a preacher now, all I do is every day and day and night I am going to do classes, I don't care about whether you eat or sleep or whether you are feeling sick." It's not like that. No, because it becomes otherwise very very difficult. We cannot even be satisfied actually. And so for us, it helped a lot, the spiritual instruction which we received from our Guru Maharaj. Even before our marriage, we were so he was so kind and we were so fortunate. So he said, before marriage, during engagement, when he approved our marriage, he gave instructions. He said, like, do everything together. You chant together, you read together, you serve together, you cook together. Do everything together. So somehow we got the strength to do that, and we can see how much it's helping us to see each other's spiritual side and how much it gives a strong bonding. So Hari Vallabha used to read Srimad Bhagavatam with Mataji every day, half an hour. He said that it's like so much bonding. So we are all so busy doing so many things, but at least some small thing we should take up, either reading one verse together or maybe chant like few rounds together or something like that. Most of us are doing. These are just for re-emphasizing the same points. So next verse, verse number 31.
Ajata shatru krutam krutru hutagnir vipranatva tilago bhumi rukmai gruham pravishto guru vandanaya na chapasya pitarau shaubalincha.
Maharaj Yudhishthira, whose enemy was never born, performed his daily morning duties by praying, offering fire sacrifice to the sun god and offering obeisances, grains, cows, land and gold to the brahmanas. He then entered the palace to pay respects to the elderly. However, he could not find his uncles and aunt, the daughter of King Subala. So here we see that Maharaj Yudhishthira, he gets up in the morning, he is a king, but he performs all his duties, daily morning duties. So, and then one thing is, he just now notices that his uncles and aunt are not there in the palace. So here uncles, so that means Dhritarashtra also left in the night along with Dhritarashtra and Gandhari. So the Yudhishthira, most pious king. So some of the points from purport, Srila Prabhupada says, some of the duties of householders are to rise early, to give charity to the brahmanas and also offer respects to the elderly members. And Prabhupada says, but nowadays modern householders, they rise late, without cleanliness, they take bed tea, all those things, and they don't do any purificatory practices. And one incident I heard, it seems one of my Prabhu's friend, he was telling, they're so addicted to iPhone, iPad, everything. Nowadays, they just get up from bed, just roll around, start checking. It's like 2-3 hours, check internet, email, everything there only. Then they get up finally to take bath. So it's become worse and worse day by day. And then the result of this is that the children also start to follow parents. They also get all these bad habits, and so if parents don't follow, how can we teach the children? And then because of this, whole generation glides down to hell. So what is the remedy for this is, Prabhupada again emphasizes, association with sadhus. So how Dhritarashtra, because of association with Vidura, got rectified, similarly our only recourse, because of all this Kali Yuga effects and all the effects due to so many people being unclean, is that we should constantly have association with sadhus. That releases us from the effects of this modern life. So verse number 32.
Tatra sanjayam asinam praprachodvignamanasa gavalagane kvarnastato vruddohinasya netrayo.
Maharaj Yudhishthira, full of anxiety, turned to Sanjaya who was sitting there and said, "Oh Sanjaya, where is our uncle who is old and blind?" So there is no purport to that. So we'll continue with the next verse.
Amba chamata putra tra putra vyakva gata surad api maya krita pragne hata bandhu cha bharyaya asam samana samalam gangayam dukito apavdat.
Translation: where is my well-wisher uncle Vidura and mother Gandhari, who is very afflicted due to all her son's demise? My uncle Dhritarashtra was also very mortified due to the death of all his sons and grandsons. Undoubtedly, I am very ungrateful. Did he, therefore, take my offences very seriously and along with his wife drown himself in the Ganges? So here we see how Yudhishthira Maharaj is taking personal responsibility to his uncles and aunt leaving home. So instead of saying, "Oh, anyway, he was a burden, I was just maintaining him," like Vidura told him, right? Like Bhima was giving you like a biscuits like a dog and you are still staying, you leave from here. But Yudhishthira never felt like that. He felt, actually, I am ungrateful. And Prabhupada quotes some incidents why he feels like that. So here we see Yudhishthira feels responsible. So one of the main points in the translation here is unavoidable. Oh, it's not there in the translation. Okay. So Srila Prabhupada says that these unavoidable misdeeds. So in the course of Arjuna and Yudhishthira, both of them knew consequences of this war. That's why Arjuna in the first place didn't want to fight the war, because he says that all my family members will be killed and there will be like sinful reaction and progeny, all those things he gives reason, and of course Krishna didn't agree with that, right? But they knew this is going to happen. So even if Krishna, on the order of Krishna, they had to fight, they had to face the same situation. So that's why Srila Prabhupada calls it as unavoidable. So in such unavoidable misdeeds, what should one do? So that's the practical application. We would come to that. And then here Yudhishthira Maharaj is feeling ungrateful because he knew when they were child, when they were children, when father passed away, Dhritarashtra took, gave them some piece of like royal place for them to stay and all those things. So for that small thing, he feels like I have killed all his sons. So I am the one to be blamed. I am ungrateful. I received so much from him and I killed in turn all his sons. So what have I done? So the application here is, like Yudhishthira Maharaj, we should, whenever there is any disturbance or something, we should always try to see what we can improve. Because there are always, when things go wrong, everybody can improve actually. But we always see how that person can improve, how that person should do better. But better for us, because we have control over what things we can do, is to look what things we can improve. And then Rompad Maharaj gives in his class that one of the qualities of a disciple or a sadhaka is tapa. Tapa means repentance. So whenever there are any mishaps, like when we reflect and we feel we made a mistake, then we repent. Okay, I shouldn't have done that. Then that gives, that itself is a purification. Of course, we should not go into ignorance, like we keep brooding over the same thing, but we should pick ourselves up and not repeat the same mistake. And also one thing we could do is, if we are bold enough, we should ask forgiveness. Then actually that the Krishna helps a lot in overcoming such problems. So here we can see from purport how Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing Yudhishthira Maharaj's character. As a pious man, Maharaj Yudhishthira took into account all his unavoidable misdeeds and he never thought of the misdeeds of his uncle and company. Dhritarashtra had suffered the effects of his own misdeeds by the will of the Lord. But Maharaj Yudhishthira was thinking only of his own unavoidable misdeeds. So here Prabhupada is telling Dhritarashtra had to face those situations. But Yudhishthira Maharaj is telling, no, because of me it happened like that. That is the nature of a good man and devotee of the Lord. A devotee never finds faults with others, but tries to find his own and thus rectify them as far as possible. So natural application point for us is to overcome fault finding. So this we can again hear again, so that we can get some strength in this situation. So we have a choice whether we want to be like a fly or a bee. So what does a fly do? Fly always go to the refuse, like all the negative things and all the bad smell, everything, it always goes there. But honeybee always seeks the honey in the flowers. It always, so everybody has that good part. Not everybody is 100% good. Of course, pure devotees are good, but we are trying. So we have that positive side and negative side. So we should try as much as possible to see the bright side of a person. And Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita 9:30, right? Devotee is apiche sudur. Even if his sudurachara means extremely bad, he is not fallen. Krishna says if somebody commits an offense thinking of him like that, Prabhupada says in the purport that he is actually not following Krishna's instruction. And then what to think of all of devotees who are sincerely practicing? They're not even falling down, sincerely practicing. Then how much Krishna is tolerating them and how much we should tolerate them. So same point, it's like spots on the moon. Like so many wonderful qualities are there in devotees, but we always see the small black spots and just focus on that. And some of the root cause and remedy, some of the things we can discuss about this is, main thing is familiarity. Yeah, we will be on time, Prabhu. Yeah. So main thing is familiarity. So because we are become very familiar, so we commit offenses and we always see the negative things. So to overcome this is to cultivate respect always. And the next point is material conceptions. Because of material conceptions, we see the we always see materially, like, okay, this person is not wearing sari, this person is not doing this, all those material conceptions. But then we have to hear again and again about spiritual conception, how devotees are wonderful. And then false ego. Because of false ego, we think that we can correct somebody. That's the fundamental thing. And we think that actually, oh, he made a mistake or she made a mistake. So we should cultivate proper service attitude. Then we always have a tendency to speak false, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, with the same tongue we glorify the devotees. Then we can overcome that tendency. So verse number 34.
Pitaryuparate pandau sarvana suhrda shishun arakshatam vyasanatana pitravyakvagata ita.
When my father Pandu fell down and we were all small children, these two uncles gave us protection and from all kinds of calamities. They were always our good well-wishers. Alas, where have they gone from here? So again, Yudhishthira Maharaj is glorifying how he received mercy from them. So the next verse number 35, that verse also doesn't have purport.
Suta uvacha kripaya sneha vaikalyat suto viraha karchita atmeshwaram achakshano na pratyahatitidata.
Suta Goswami said, because of compassion and mental agitation, Sanjaya, not having seen his own master Dhritarashtra, was aggrieved and could not properly reply to Maharaj Yudhishthira. So here we see Sanjaya was also surprised actually. Sanjaya was also not informed that they are leaving. So he becomes agitated because he is actually the servant appointed by Vyasadeva to always be with Dhritarashtra 24 hours. So he never was away from him. So he became very aggrieved, and then he started to he couldn't reply actually. So so Prabhupada says in this purport that Sanjaya's interpretation of the situation is different from what happened. So Sanjaya thought that Dhritarashtra left home out of frustration. That okay, he lost his kingdom, he lost his children, everything. So, and nobody was taking care of him properly. So he left because of frustration. Oh, how sorry. And he started feeling material compassion towards him. Like how Arjuna feels in Kurukshetra. And then, but he did not know that Dhritarashtra's inner vision has been awakened. So, Srila Prabhupada quotes something about how to take to renounce Chaudhara's life. Unless one is convinced of the better life after renunciation of the present life, one cannot stick to the renounced order of life simply by artificial dress or staying out of home. So we also hear from Bhagavad Gita, right? Mithyachari, Krishna says in 3rd chapter, one who artificially acts like a renunciate but without internally having purification, he is just a Mithyachari and he just causes social disorder. So but here Dhritarashtra was not in that situation. So verse number 36.
Vimrujyashuni pani vyam vishtavyatmanamatmana ajata shatrum pradyuche prabho padav anusmaram.
First he slowly pacified his mind by intelligence and wiping away his tears and thinking of the feet of his master Dhritarashtra, he began to reply to Maharaj Yudhishthira. That also doesn't have purport. So this is the last verse. Verse number 37.
Sanjaya uvacha naham veda vyavastitam pitror vakulanandana gandharya va mahabaho musito asmi mahatmabhi.
Sanjaya said, my dear descendant of the Kuru dynasty, I have no information of the determination of your two uncles and Gandhari. O king, I have been cheated by these great souls. So actually here Rompad Malat says that Sanjaya feels resentment. So instead of saying my master, he says your two uncles. That's what Maharaj is saying. Because he feels actually, you know, we get some kind of position when we have that special position. Sanjaya was in a special position of most confidential servant. And when he realized that that Dhritarashtra Maharaj left without even telling him, he felt, how could he do this? So that's the reaction. So, and in this very sweet purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about how transcendentally we can cheat. So the title is, essence or the theme is Transcendental Fraud. So Prabhupada says that great souls cheat others for a great cause. And he gave some examples like how Lord Krishna advised Yudhishthira Maharaj to tell a lie in the battlefield. We all know about that incident. And he also talks about how Sanatan Goswami cheated his prison guard. So he gave 5,000 gold coins. It's a bribe basically. He gave a bribe, Vaishnava giving a bribe to a prison guard. And then so that he can leave that prison. And similarly, Raghunath Das Goswami, he cheated his priest, Yadunandan Acharya. Yadunandan Acharya took him so that, okay, my disciple has left the deity worship and is not taking care. Can you advise him to go back and make sure that he does the service? He said, yes, yes. And Raghunandan, they both go outside. And then Raghunath Das Goswami says, okay, I'm going to go to his house and bring him back. But then he never comes back. So he cheated his own priest actually. And Srila Prabhupada also says that I also had an opportunity to cheat my family members and took to sannyas. So the incident where his wife sold Bhagavad Gita like for tea biscuits, then Prabhupada said, you decide whether you want me or tea. Then he took that opportunity to leave. So why did Sanjaya felt cheated? Because he was not informed of their departure. And is my cheating transcendental? So we also feel, oh, there is a transcendental cheating. Oh, should I also do like this? We have excuses, right? So Prabhupada says how to balance, how to check against this. Is it really to satisfy the Lord? If it is so, then it comes under these categories, like how these acharyas have done. If it's not, then it's our mental concoction. We should be very careful about that. So some purport from the... section from the purport, that great souls cheat others may be astonishing to know, but it is a fact that great souls cheat others for a great cause. To satisfy the Lord, anything is good, for it is in the relation with absolute truth. We also had the same opportunity to cheat the family members and leave home to engage in the service of Srimad Bhagavatam. Thus cheating was necessary for a great cause, and there is no loss for any party in such transcendental fraud. So, in summary, we talked about some of the themes which are importance of Sadhu Sangha. We also talked about ideal husband and wife, some principles we can follow. and overcoming fault finding. And then the very nice thing about how great souls cheat others for a great cause. And we should not cheat unless we think it's for a great cause. That's all. And some of the references are Rompad Maharaj's lecture and Burjan Prabhu's overview and Srila Prabhupada's purport. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Jai. So we are 4 minutes early.
Ten fifteen.
Yeah, but recording it says 40 minutes.
No, it started at 10:49.